All right, we're good to roll. Thankful for another opportunity to preach the Word of God. And man, that was good, wasn't it? I think so many times we forget who God is and what He's really done for us and what it took to humble Himself and to come to this broken and sinful world for people as we are. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to James chapter 4 tonight. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 in your Bibles. I was listening to the song I've been listening to this week, and it's an old hymn. And on the last verse, it goes like this: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every one a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Man, I'll tell you what. That'll fire you up. That's like pre-workout for a preacher before he preaches. I'm going to be honest, that is not the title of this sermon, The Love of God Tonight, but I just want to share that. It's been on my mind all week. But if you have your Bibles there in James chapter 4 and verse number 13, we'll read to the end of the chapter, James chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Tonight I'd like to speak to you on a simple subject, and it's this: what is your life? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for this time in the middle of the week that we can gather to worship you and hear from your word. Just thank you for what we've already heard from your word, Lord, so far tonight. I just pray you'd help us to take that and apply that. I pray you be with this part of the preaching now. Please just give me clarity of thought and speech, and I pray that, Lord, ultimately, you'd be honored and glorified in it all. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you ever met a person who seems like they got their whole future planned out? I mean, everything is planned out. The new year, they got all the vacations, they got all the before the school starts activities, they got everything. Have you ever met a person like that? Can you raise your hand? Everybody can wake up tonight. I know it's late. Everybody was responsible and went to bed before midnight, as I'm assuming. But in James chapter 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." The Bible's talking about these people who talk about what they're going to do, right? We're going to go into this city, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, and we're going to get gain. But the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse number 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Do you know none of us know what a day is going to bring? None of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us know what will happen in the next hour. None of us know what's going to meet us once we pull out on that road. No one knows truly if we'll even make it home tonight. But you know what? So many times we live our lives like we're guaranteed another 30 years. How many people can testify to that? Because I know I have as well, and often I do. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, you find people all over the world today, they got all their plans. They got the next 30-year stretch out. I mean, you talk to a college kid or a high schooler, right? They talk about their college they're going to. And then after college, I'm going to go to this job. And then through this job, I'm going to build up a good retirement. And after this retirement, I'm going to live life. And after I live life, well, I'll go meet the Lord. And that'll be good. But we have all our lives planned out. And the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So many times we find ourselves living like we're guaranteed to make it into our 70s and our 80s. And praise God if you have made it there. God's blessed you, but none of us are guaranteed to see another day. And the Bible asks this question in verse number 14, "For what is your life?" What is our life? Is it long? Is it, like we said a moment ago, is it guaranteed to reach this certain age and guaranteed to live this long, prosperous life? Guaranteed to see long and fruitful years? No, the Bible says our life, that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, right? And that our life is a vapor It's short. It's not guaranteed to last forever. It's very short, and it's not long. The Bible says that it appeareth for a little time, and then what? Can you say it? Vanisheth away. It's here one moment, and it's gone the next. Somebody once said, while we are young, our time on earth seems like an eternity. But truly, our days are like a vapor, here one moment, and gone the next. Man, I look back on when I was younger. I mean, I'm sure I'm maybe considered young to some people, but younger, I mean like 10 years ago, right? And so I look back when me and my siblings were younger, and we were still living there on Old Camden Pike, and man, we were growing up, and we were always behaving and never fighting. And just having a good time. And man, I look back on my life and all of that has flown by. Yes, we're all still together. Yes, we all have each other now. But I look back and realize how brief life is. How many of you can attest to that? You realize how brief life is. Life is brief and life is quick. You know, you go to all these capitals across America, often you'll find statues. And guess what? Most of all of them have one thing in common. They're all dead. They're all gone. Their time on earth is up. They had their vapor. They had their opportunity. They had their opportunity to live. They had their opportunity to do something with God. But they have one thing in common. They are all in eternity. How will you use your life? What will you use with the vapor that God has given you? Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse number 4. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, Jesus even knew this. He knew it, that life was brief. He knew that his time, yes, Jesus was eternal. Yes, he was even before Abraham. Yes, he created the world. Yes, he created the stars and all the planets. But he knew that his time on this earth and what he had come to do was, in a sense, on a time limit. He said, the night cometh when no man can work. And you know what? There is going to come a day in all our life, it doesn't matter how young or old we are, when we're going to stand before God, when we're going to meet him face to face. Whether for Christians, if that's through death, or whether it's through the rapture, we know that one day our time on this earth will be up. So what do we do? What do we do now that we know that? Now that we know life is temporal, now that we know life is short and that it's a vapor, how should it affect us? Well, obviously, it should affect us on who we tell about him. Friend, if you want to make much of the vapor that God has given you, then make much of the Lord Jesus Christ known to other people. If you want to make an impact on this world more than anything, make him known in the lives of other people. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I have a friend of mine, I won't say his name just because it is a closed country that he's a missionary in. He's a missionary in China. And his first mission trip that he ever took to China, he went with these college students, and they were at a college university, and they were going throughout, I don't know if you'd say the courtyard, but and where all the college students would walk when classes were dismissed. And these students are walking, and they're going to their classes, and well, they wanted to share the gospel. And one of the Chinese students approached these Americans. And well, one of the friends wanted to share the gospel with them, and so he said, what do you know about Jesus? And this young man, this young Chinese man's response was, what is Jesus? He didn't know enough about Jesus to know that Jesus is not a what, but that he's a who, and he came into this world to save men. Not only should it affect how we tell other people about Jesus, but it also should affect our urgency to do it. There should be an urgency about life. So many times, and I find in my life, and maybe you do in yours as well, that there's just a, we're just going throughout life. We're just taking our time, thinking of all that we're going to do. Man, I'll do this when I get to this point in my life. Man, I'll tell you what, I daydreamed about college for a long time. I mean, I thought about Bible college when I was 13. I remember being at the table thinking about it, and it has just flown by, and now it's here. And so many times, we think about all we're going to do. We think about all the people we're going to reach. But you know what, there's people in this, sorry, my tongue is getting twisted. There's people in this community who need Christ and who have never heard. Man, one of the things that opened my eyes the most was going down to Knoxville, going down to Crown, and you're coming in contact with these young children who've never heard the gospel. We pick them up on the bus route and bring them to church, and you ask them, why did Jesus die? Right? A basic question all of us can answer, for our sins. And they just, I don't know. They don't know. There's a world outside of America, and there's people in this country who've never heard a clear presentation of what Christ has done for them, and they don't know that God loves them and that he wants them to be saved. Not only it should affect our witness for Christ, it should also affect our walk with him. If you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter 15. Man, don't wait to get serious about seeking Jesus before it's too late. Don't wait to make much of Him in your life before you go to meet Him in person. Jesus said in John chapter 15, in verse number 1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Jesus said, "I am the true vine, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Life is too short to have a dry, unfruitful walk with God. And I'm not saying that I have it all together, and I'm not saying I'm bearing the fruit I should, but I do know this. Life is too short, and it goes by too quickly to not have fellowship with Him daily. When was the last time you really sat down with God and had communion with Him? I'm not talking about so many times I get caught up in this myself, that kind of 1, 2, 3 prayer before bed. God, bless Dad. God, bless Mom. Keep them safe. God, help my sisters not to go crazy. God, help them. They're wild. God, help the children. The Lord, reach people with the gospel. And we just have these very quick prayers, right? In Jesus' name, amen. And I find myself doing that way too many times. But how often do we really have that one-on-one communion with God? You know, oftentimes we wonder why God seems so far, but it's often because this book, like Truman was talking about, is so far from us. Prayer is far from us. Going to church. I mean, when was the last time? I mean, you know, not just bouncing back in and out of church, but when you were here, hearing the Word of God, getting fed from the Scriptures, and hearing the preaching and being one-on-one with the Lord and in prayer and through His Word. And oftentimes that'll solve the problem. Why we're so far from Him is because we're so far from His Word and truly having fellowship with Him. And then lastly, not only should it should affect our witness, right? Time is short, it should affect our witness. It should affect our walk with Christ. But man, life is too short to be spent living in all the things that you've done wrong, and all the past, and all the guilt, and all the shame. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I will tell you, I am not experienced in ministry, but one of the saddest things to hear is people who are upper in years, and I'm not going to say what I think upper in years are, because if I did, all the 30-year-olds would walk out, all right? No, I'm kidding. Learn to have fun, amen? But one of the saddest things to hear is people who are a little more older, and they just feel because they've wasted so much time in their life that God is done with them. And can I tell you, you are believing a lie straight from the pits of hell, because that is not true. God is not a God up in heaven with His arms crossed. Oh, you've done too much. Oh, you've reached a certain age. Oh, because you're past this age and you've done all these things, I'm never going to be able to use you. I'm never going to be able to use you to reach other people. Your walk with me is far gone and I'm done with you. Let me tell you something, friend. You are believing a lie. Because God wants you. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You're not done. Your time on this earth is not done until you take that last breath. And as far as I know, everybody in this room, and I hope everybody on the live stream is breathing tonight, because if you are, God is not done with your life. He's not. You say, you don't understand all the filth I've done. You don't understand all the things I'm in. Let me tell you something, friend. If God can take people like Peter, a fisherman who didn't know a lick, and take him to be one of the most well preachers that the world has ever seen, let me tell you something. God can take people like us and turn our lives around. If God can take a shepherd boy and bring him to a palace, if God can take a shepherd boy and use him to kill a giant, then friend, God can take you from your broken past, from your hurt, from whatever you're going through tonight, and He can turn it around. You know, David said in Psalm chapter 51, you can turn there if you like. Psalm chapter 51, man, this is one of the best chapters that I enjoy reading. Psalm chapter 51, David, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, said this: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Time out. This is right after David had done something absolutely terrible. He had fallen in adultery. He had sinned against God. He had killed his friend. He had done all these things. And he comes before God and he says this, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And in verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." How many of you feel just stagnant and tired and weak, and you feel like you've just gotten in the motions of things, and you feel like you're not on fire for God? You don't have this mindset that life is temporal and you only have one shot at this, and you're going through life lukewarm and stagnant. Let me tell you something, friend. There's hope for you and there's hope for me, and it's found in Jesus Christ. It's because he died and was buried and rose again that there's hope for us. That we can go, yes, we are forgiven, and yes, we know him as our Savior if we've received him by faith, but so many times we find ourselves drifting, and I can tell you this, friend, on the authority of his word, that he's willing to meet you, and he's willing to forgive you and help you out of the mess that you may be in. You know, I was sitting here, and I'll pray here in just a moment, and we'll be on our way and go get Dairy Queen or whatever you had planned after tonight, but you do realize we have one shot at this, right? I'm not trying to give some inspiration, emotional speech, but it's true. We have one opportunity, and then it's over. One opportunity. If the Lord tarries his coming, someone else one day will pastor this church. Someone else will fill the seat you're in. Someone else will fill this house. Other kids will be running up and down those hallways. And one day our life on earth will be over, and you know what? Well, they'll look back on our lives, and will they see someone who really wanted to reach people? Will they see someone who really sought to walk with the Lord? Will they see someone who, yes, they may have spent their life in sin and things they shouldn't have, which we all have, but they gave themselves back to Christ? Friend, I do not stand before you perfect or acting like I got it all together, because I honestly do not. But I do know this, if you've wasted most of your life, and maybe you have, I think all of us have in some areas, but God is willing to turn it around. And he can take the remaining time we have on this earth to honor and glorify him, and he is not done with you. In this vapor that we have, we're faced with a choice, and Truman talked about it, right? The gospel. You're faced with a choice to receive Christ as your Savior and depending on only what he has done. The Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God sent Jesus Christ into this world 2,000 years ago on a rescue mission, and it was to save me and you. Because you know what? We're all born sinners. David even said in verse number 5 in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You know what? We're all born sinners, and that sin has a payment, and it's eternal separation from God and dying and going to a place called hell. But God didn't want that to happen, you know? The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Despite our sin, despite all the bad things we've done, despite us deserving hell and judgment, Christ came and he died on a cross, one much bigger than that one, and he shed his blood and he gave his life for you and for me to bring us back into a relationship with God. And he didn't just stay dead, but he rose again and he's alive, and he wants to come into your life tonight if you haven't let him. You know, many people believe there are many ways to God. Well, you have to be one of the elect. You got to be one of the chosen, right? I'm on a touchy subject, right? I'm on hot ground. But the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God wants all men to be saved. He didn't just come on that old rugged cross to save a few. He came to this world to save all men, and you're faced with a choice. Then there are others who may believe that, yes, God is good. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he gave his life. Yes, he rose again. And yes, I must trust him as my Savior. But there are all these good things that I must do to secure my spot in heaven. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Can I just say that again? And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you something. My parents, which they did, they gave me gifts on Christmas, and I'm thankful for it. And my mom, what she did, she bought me a Carhartt hoodie. If she brought that hoodie to me and said, Matthew, this is yours, and I took it, it would be mine. But if she said, now, Matthew, if you screw up, if you don't do the dishes when I tell you, if you don't do this when I tell you, I'm going to take it away. That's not a gift. That's not what God has given you. He's given you salvation, and he seals you with the Holy Spirit, and he forgives you, and he brings you into that right relationship with God because of what he's done. And we'll go ahead and we'll pray in here in just a moment. But friend, if you've never made that choice, make it today. Decide to follow him. That song they just sung, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. If you have not decided to follow Christ, decide tonight. And maybe you're not witnessing like you should. Maybe you're not seeking Christ like you should. Maybe you are living in sin. But let me tell you something, friend. God can take our broken lives and he can turn them around. And aren't you thankful for that? Because we have one vapor, we have one life. And by God's grace, may we finish strong. As an old quote from C.T. Studd said, one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you want to make much of your life, then give it all to him. And he'll do great things with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. I thank you for Truman, Lord. I thank you for how you're working in his life. And I thank you, God, for raising up people from this church. So many more, Lord, that are in this audience, that are in Sunday school classrooms, probably at this moment, Lord, that you are working on their hearts to take the gospel to this lost and dying world. We thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you died on the cross and rose again. And we thank you, God, that you take broken, sinful people and you can turn our lives around and use them for your glory. May we use, God, what time we have left remaining on this earth for the gospel and to reach others for it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.